Yeah, but not to switch gears too much. I want to get into this meat discussion.
Let's talk about meat.
We want to talk about the meat. Yes.
Let's get to the meat.
There's nothing like it when I'm smoking meat, like watching my meat. It's exhilarating.
Pretty bad when you inhale that, aren't you?
It's so awesome to watch. We're attached to meat. I can't even imagine the first caveman when they accidentally lightning struck and a tree fell down and a dinosaur was hit and they started the smell of cooked meat started wafting past
their.
Is that how this all started?
They're like,
oh my goodness, we got to get some of that.
They were eating it raw for a while.
What book did you see?
I've seen a lot of movies. So I'm just imagining the first caveman or the first modern human that actually cooked up meat. How incredible it must have been. And
our brain to eating it raw.
Yeah, our brains would have never formed the way that they formed throughout history if it wasn't for the proteins and meats. We've read all this stuff. And so my daughter, and I kind of touched on this in the beginning of the show, she came to me a couple weeks ago because she had gotten a hold of some video that they were showing how animals are mistreated when they go to slaughter and they're raised in the food production.
That's pretty bad.
It's so tragic, and there's no defense that I can give to her. There's nothing I can say to her other than I try to explain, look, we eat meat. Meat is a good thing. It's been good historically, but really there is no defense for when you look at how truly inhumane the meat production process is, not only in this country, I read this story in China, and this is just, it's just so hard for me to even recount the story, but they love their dogs, they eat dogs, and we love our dogs in a different way. Mm-hmm. Mad Max days may change that, but in the meantime, we love our dogs. In China, when the blood flows fast enough, and they kill the dog while it's in stress, the meat supposedly tastes better. So they basically strap the dog up and scald it to death with boiling water. And of course all the hair fall. I'm sorry to hurt people's feelings out there. But that's pretty extreme.
It's extreme, but
I'm saying that the way that humans treat animals, we do some extreme things in this country as well.
Yeah.
And
thank God we're in this country and not in those countries.
Right. God bless America. But this is an important topic. It's close to my heart. I have gone as far to invest in a massive aquaponics operation. I believe in clean, healthy, sustainable living. I think that as Americans, we have to make smart, solid choices going forward when it comes to, number one, what we're putting in our bodies.
Without a doubt.
And also when it comes to how we're going to grow so much food, because we've got droughts that are coming up. California, 50% of our food production is coming out of California. So and the droughts over there are going to kill a lot of that food production in the next few decades.
Well, without a doubt.
Didn't we get some information that there was some ideas to move some of that food production here to Florida?
Yeah, there are people that I went to a conference where a lot of olive farmers, because they're dying out there in California because of the water problems, and they had a conference here. University of Florida, which is an incredible resource when it comes to food production, and every state has a university that's called the Agricultural University. Right. And what the job of that university is to determine which vegetables, which trees, which things grow in this particular state, what parts of the state, how do we fertilize them, all that information. And UF has gone as far to create peaches and nectarines that'll grow in Florida. So they've done a lot of good. And they had this conference where all these olive farmers were coming from California and to see how viable it would be to start massive olive farms here in Florida.
There are quite a few actually
right now.
That are very, very, very high quality.
So
when you told me about the issue with your daughter,
right?
It moved me. It really did, because it's not an isolated story. It's unfortunately everywhere, and every day more and more people are becoming aware of the inhumane, unsustainable way our food system has gone.
And not only that, what they're feeding the animals? This goes back to the whole Monsanto discussion.
It does. It's far-reaching. I have 7 years of full-time saturated experience in this business.
And we don't just call him the meat baron for nothing. Actually, Jan Costa runs the Florida Fresh Meat Company. He has put his meat products in restaurants all over Ocala, all over Florida,
all
really.
Over the state.
All over the state. And so he definitely knows what he's talking about, which is why I wanted him to come down. Not only is he a good friend, he's done the Common Chef with us when
that
we did our
fun.
TV show.
A lot of fun.
But he is very knowledgeable on the topic. So we wanted to bring him in to talk as an authority because we're a bunch of morons. We don't know what we're talking about,
no,
right?
You're not.
Agree.
No, when it comes to meat, you've really got it down there, PC, because the sustainable factor, if everybody took upon themselves the obligation to do their part, their share, you know, I have a slogan and it's a tagline for my company that you've heard, feeding our community from within our community. We have gone so far away from local sustainable food systems into this big corporate conglomerate America factory farming that we have basically destroyed it. And the focus has gone onto factory farming where you're having all these problems. Where you're having the treatment is not just in the mishandling. Unfortunately, it's not just in the processing of the meat. It's in the actual raising of the animal.
Right.
It's on the actual livestock problem, the feedlots that they put together. You know, not just for cattle, but the way that they've run it is they house these animals in these feedlots.
Right, and then the animals don't get to move.
And they go insane.
With holes through the fence for their heads to get through, and the food is on the other side. They're hit with steroid injections, growth hormones, and then because all they're doing is eating and pooping, there's your poop story. And
we got to get it in there.
And then all the methane gas that's coming out of the animal that all the other animals are breathing, so now they need antibiotics to keep them healthy because of the unhealthy environment they're in. And all of those drugs and all those chemicals throughout the years, throughout the last 15, 22 years, since Florida lost its meat business. Florida, 22, 23, 25 years ago, was a meat producer. Now, we're a cattle producer, we're a cow-calf state. We are the 10th largest cattle producer in the United States, yet we're on the bottom of the list in meat production. Why? Because it's cheaper to put the animal on the truck and ship it out to the feedlot than to bring the food in. That's problem number one. The problem really goes away when you realize you don't need all that grain to raise your animal, to feed your animal. You don't need to put it in a feedlot concentrated on unhealthy grains and unhealthy feed that actually fattens them up but doesn't help us because we're the ones, whatever that animal ate, we're eating.
Yeah, I read that basically what we've done as particularly over the last two or three decades is we've changed our cell composition and our DNA structure based on
we're putting in our body.
What we're ingesting. And this is a part of it. So we're eating meat that is being raised, like you said, with antibiotics.
Not just meat. I'm in the meat business, but right. it applies to vegetables. Yeah. It applies to everything.
It
but
applies
with the meat,
to our water.
After, yeah. Everything.
Right, right.
Everything. Come on, think about it. 25 years ago, you did not have all these autoimmune diseases, leaky gut, thyroid diseases, problems.
Restless leg syndrome.
All of my God, everything that changes. Autism.
Yeah.
That they're finding has a lot to do with the food system,
right?
Of what people are eating. So it just makes sense to say, well, if that's true and if that's a fact, if I change the way I'm doing it, then I'm going to get a different result.
Right.
You know, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over
expecting
and expecting
a different result.
Right. So bottom line is you put these animals and you keep feeding people the way we're feeding them, we're going to have the problems we have.
And you know what? On this topic, and I'm just going to throw this out there because this is such an awesome thing I'm going to throw out. My wife has been battling ovarian cancer for a year and a half. We've gone through so much when it comes to this, and she was supposed to have another operation at the end of this month. And I'm telling you, man, I've been doing wheatgrass. We've been doing bone broth, all kinds of different things, and I've been just pumping her full of as much. I use a ton of turmeric. And I'm just reading all this stuff, reishi mushroom tea, but she went to the doctor yesterday, and she doesn't have to have the second operation.
Yes.
They said that it's working, everything's going, we're going to keep going down the path we're going, so praise God for that. It's just
unfortunately, she's having to do a repair effect.
Right.
Yes.
Imagine if all the people that are going to benefit now by the fact that we are changing it. Because every day, when I started this 7 years ago, people were laughing at me. They thought it was a little hobby starting at a farmer's market. Today, you got the big companies. You know, I knew that was going to eventually happen. You got the big monster companies now coming in, trying to get into the local sustainable movement. You got them painting their trucks now fresh and local and all these great things. You know, but meanwhile, they laughed at guys like me when we started 7 years ago at a farmer's market, you know, selling one steak at a time, telling people grass-fed, grass-finished, hormone, antibiotic-free, right. local, sustainable. Yeah, 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 ha, ha, ha. You know, now it's like, wow, now bone broth. Like you said, bone broth, chicken broth. You know, for those, it's medicinal. The food that's healthy will make you healthy. And if you're not sick, if you start eating good food now, it'll keep you healthy.
Right, right.
You know,
moving forward. So I got some questions. Let's zero in on some solutions.
Throw them at me.
Let's zero in on some solutions as a society, because I kind of look at it like this. You start local with, no matter what it is, but you start local with the food. We've talked a lot about the TPP. A lot of people are talking about this transatlantic partnership agreement that's going on, this massive trade deal, and there's a lot of talk, because we don't know everything that's in it, that it does control a great deal of the world's food supply.
Right.
So food is up here on this huge national factory-driven level. So when we bring it, when we bring control of food down to a local level, when people are growing their own food, participating in eating local food, supporting businesses that grow local food, what we're able to do is that community has sustainability practices in place. And it kind of steals the thunder from the huge corporate interest that's involved in this process. So it actually, on a political level, is a smart thing to do as well, because whoever controls the food controls the people. And that is just a fact, Jack, because people are going to eat. But when you talk about local sustainability, we have, and I'm not going to, I don't want to dog out major corporations, because if McDonald's wants to sponsor the show, I'm not going to turn them down. But
take those rubber burgers.
No, listen.
You'll just tell them, in order for you to sponsor, you got to do business with the Florida Fresh Meat Company and do a grass-fed burger.
When you're talking about massive restaurant chains that have to process so many burgers, which you saw the whole slime.
There's an answer.
Okay,
I have an answer.
That's what I'm asking about.
So how does that happen, right?
How do we make this?
Okay.
Because they need to produce so much meat, which
gotcha.
Is why this factory farming is going on.
Got it.
So what's the answer?
It's sourcing locally. Watch this program. Just because you're a national company, let's say, so you pick North Central Florida, which is where I'm located. I don't want to feed Alabama. I'm not looking to feed Georgia. I'm not looking to feed Louisiana. I'm looking to feed my community. And if I'm focusing my operation here locally, okay, and if you go anywhere, to any part of the state, and you Google it, local sustainable farming, there's livestock everywhere.
There are.
Okay?
Right around my house, in Mad Max days, I'm going to be set, because there's cows everywhere.
If you create that demand, there are people that have the ingenuity to make it happen locally. Florida, the 10th largest cattle producer in the country, we could ramp up our production like that and keep our cattle here to raise
meat.
You
think you could produce enough meat to sustain all the restaurant activity in this
area? Me personally, no. But me and my friend Joe and my friend Mike and my friend Danny Cowart and my friend Lint and all these other people that are involved in the industry together, sure we can. I'm not a monopoly. I'm involved with about 10, 12 families. That's how I've done it. Not like I wanted to give my secret away. But I've involved myself with local farms and families within a 75-mile radius around Ocala. And together, we raise our chickens. We raise our cattle. We're raising our lamb. We're raising our pigs. And together, we're actually involved in this whole program. It's not Jan feeding the community. It's feeding the community from the community.
Right.
So on a macro level, on a small level, if each community takes responsibility, I don't want to feed all the 1,000 Wendy's in Georgia, but I know I can handle the 15 in Ocala if they gave me the opportunity, because the cattle are here. All I have to do is divert the location where the cattle are going. You know?
All right. So let me ask you this other question.
Or whatever.
Because I feel like, and we are actually trying to do this here at home, we're trying to not eat meat all the time. We're drawn back on how much meat we eat on a weekly basis. So, you know, maybe it's just a couple times a week, maybe two or three times a week. Do you think that's a smart way to go? And yes. then and focus, because, you know, there, yes. there's a lot of other ways you can go with the beans and the potatoes. And I make a
Mix
lot of
up.
Incredible dishes when it comes to vegetarian.
Even if it affects, I'm sorry, even if it affects your business, you're still in agreement with that.
Absolutely, because there's still enough to go around. You right. know, I don't eat meat every day. Mm-hmm. You know, I support the fish industry. I support. Yeah. There are days I'll have a
fish
know,
is
a,
meat.
The what?
Fish is meat.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But, yeah. Well, I'm saying I'm talking about red meat.
I know. I'm playing with.
Hey, I go to the other meat. I'll go to the bird. You know, but yeah, I believe you should mix it up. I believe that. The consumption of too much is no good.
That's when I was under the impression that if we just took common sense measures as a society and people started making choices, the consumer has all the power here, right?
True. But that's now you're taking it to another level. Let's attack the first thing of solving the issue where we're feeding our kids healthy stuff, whatever it is we're feeding them, local. And the local thing actually extends even further. To the feed that you feed your animals, that should be
right.
That
right.
should be grown locally. Also,
I agree.
And one of the
you know
reasons,
the people you're getting your stuff from.
And I believe it's a health reason because when you go into different areas that have different bacteria, we build up an immunity in our community to the environment, to the air, to what's going on around us. You know, but we're not necessarily immune to the air,
to allergies, and all whatnot.
In Dallas, Texas,
gotcha.
Or L.A.
Right.
You ever notice you go on vacation sometimes?
Get sick.
First couple of days, you're picking up a little flu or a bug. You control it because you don't want to blow your vacation, but you actually feel different.
I don't get sick.
Oh, thank God.
Well, I am Captain Caliente. Yes. I do have superpowers.
Yes.
Actually, it's the Rishi.
It's all those hot pepper.
It is. I have a hot pepper garden that I ingest hot peppers like crazy. But I also every day I drink this Rishi mushroom tea, and it is such an immune system builder that it's just absolutely. I just don't get sick. I haven't been sick in years. It's amazing.
Well, you're eating smarter. You're drinking smarter. You're
right.
being smarter, and we're educating smarter. You know, and every day more and more people watch movies like Food, Inc.
Right,
you
right. know, and, I did watch that.
Yeah.
Or Cowspiracy.
That's a game changer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a game changer. And I will tell you that I wasn't always, you know, like that. You know, I never saw that movie, and I didn't care less. You know, I used to go out and have a great steak. And when I realized, once I realized what was available, then I changed. Because I realized the opportunity in sustainable meats, because it was a business. But I've come to be involved with people that have been massively affected health-wise, nutritionally-wise, mm-hmm. you know, by eating healthier. You know, I meet people daily because they're on the broth.
Right.
Because they're eating proteins that are healthy, that aren't laden with chemicals, that they're actually starting to see a difference, that their skin is better, that their hair is better, that their health is better.
There's been
now there
issues of beating cancer with diet.
Yeah. It, well, there is one.
Or preventing it.
Yeah, well, of course, preventing it. But I'm saying once it's there, and somebody's
right.
giving you a determination that you don't have much longer to live, and then changing your diet and being motivated by that, people have actually seen it.
Without a doubt.
There is one other big question about this. It's simply more expensive
right.
To eat that kind of meat, to eat grass-fed meat.
I have to steal a quote from somebody.
Okay, lay it on me.
Have you priced cancer lately?
Okay, listen, you're preaching to the choir, baby. I know how much it's.
I sell it.
And I'm and under this medical system, which don't get me. Let's see. I need to calm down because I'm telling you.
Let me explain to you
let's
the cost.
Stick with the meat.
Of, listen, the cost of feeding an animal in a feedlot that's
I know
that's government subsidized when with the jar
with the corn
of,
right
what corn.
Well, the corn,
the leftover.
They take so much corn
what
that's
corn? The leftover.
No, the corn that they're feeding the factory animals.
The
it's
corn,
still the
no,
leftover.
The leftover, because what they're pulling out of the corn is the ethanol.
Right.
They're pulling out all these other products that are more valuable.
You're right.
And they're giving the
you're
leftovers
talking about
to the animal.
The
that's
the
my
junk.
Belief. Okay,
so, like,
I don't know.
Been...
The Cowboy Association is going to come after me.
Right.
But they take all nutrients and all quality.
Yeah.
It's just filler.
Yes, well, listen, if you took steroids and you're a bodybuilder
right.
and you're working out and you're pumping up, how much of that muscle is real? The second you stop taking those steroids, what happens? Do you deflate? Well, same thing. You're hitting these animals with growth hormones
right.
that's making them grow.
Yeah.
Would they grow? It takes me 30 months to get an animal to about 1,300 pounds. It takes them 12 months to get them to 2,000 with an injection.
Right.
Wow.
Okay. It's amazing.
Wow.
Okay, so that also comes into play with...
Right, but you're not getting a doctor bill when you buy my steak.
If you eat less, if you make a conscious choice to eat less meat, you can eat the better stuff.
Right.
And that is actually what happens. But as
and you eat less, by the way.
Yeah.
By the way, well, you might eat a 60 because it's richer, it's fuller.
It's got nutrients.
There's more nutrients. You're getting fuller faster. Yeah. So where you might normally eat an 8-ounce steak, now you might eat a 6-ounce steak.
Nice.
Well, I'll tell you this, my friend. I've never, ever, ever had a burger until I had one of your grass-fed burgers.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it is.
Where can we get that? I want one.
It's well at FloridaFreshMeat.com. You go see, go to FloridaFreshMeat, talk to Jan. He will take care of you.
All right,
and it's time for us to take another break, believe it or not.
Wow, man.
So fast.
We'll be
they
back.
They say time flies when you're having fun.
Yes, yes, indeed. We've got more to talk about on the other side of this. We're going to get into some politics, some fun stuff. I don't know about the poop stories just yet.
Skip poop stories.
But I do have a transmission from Mars.
All right.
So, news from the face on Mars coming up.